Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. We want to thank our friends from Virbac for sponsoring today's episode. And I have got to tell you that this is something that I have been waiting for. And we are going to be talking about, it's basically new body, new diet, but a little bit about nutrition, staying and neutering, obesity. So we got to welcome Dr. Stacy Scolavino that's with us. How are you, my friend?
I'm wonderful. I'm very excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're honored that you're here too. And, you know, it's, are you right? This is a topic that I'm sure you must hear a lot about as in what you do in your area of expertise, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, nutrition has always been near and dear to my heart. And I spent much of my career as a general practitioner, spaying and neutering many, many dogs and cats. So this is something to combine the two is really amazing.
Right. So to our listeners that don't know our friend Stacy, she graduated from the University of Pennsylvania School of Veterinary Medicine. We was going to give a shout out to the vet school. Prior to veterinary school, she worked as a research technician at Harvard Medical School. What? Three novel scientific publications. After graduation, Dr. Scolavino completed an internship at Oroville Animal Hospital and then practiced as an associate veterinarian at Red Bank Veterinary Hospital in New Jersey. To pursue her passion for nutrition and research, Dr. Scolavino joined Royal Canin as a scientific services veterinarian. She worked primarily with their diet lines by developing scientific reasoning for vets, stakeholders, and the general public. Currently, she's worked with Virbac US as a nutritional technical manager to help develop the and brand the new pet food line, which I'm so excited to learn about as well. So, okay, so let's back up a little bit then, and let's just talk about like, obesity is an epidemic that we're seeing right now in the United States. So, you know, I guess with that married to the spay and neuter procedure, talk to me a little bit like what happens physiologically following a spay or neuter procedure?
Yeah, absolutely. So after we spay and neuter our patients, we're obviously changing their body anatomically, but there are significant physiologic changes that are occurring as well. So we'll see a drop in basal metabolic rate, meaning our patients require significantly less calories in a day after they've been spayed or neutered. But at the same time, we also see an increase in appetite. And this piece is something a lot of veterinarians, when I go and talk about all this in the field, they're pretty surprised to hear that there's an increase in appetite as well. But sex hormones, especially estrogens for those females, they normally act to subdue or decrease appetite. Obviously, when we're spaying and neutering our patients, we're taking those sex hormones away. So their appetite can increase in turn. Whenever there's an increase in appetite, if food is available, we're going to see an increase in caloric intake. And these increases in intake can be significant. So in dogs, we can see caloric intake increase by about 60% and in cats by 20%. But again, at the same time, their metabolism is actually slowing down. So after surgery, dogs require 30% less calories than prior to when they were spayed or neutered, and cats require about 25% less calories. So pretty significant lifelong changes. And if you combine these two things, increased appetite, slowing metabolism, it's no wonder why our patients are at an increased risk for weight gain after they've been spayed or neutered.
And so we have that kind of working with or against us in this conversation when we're talking about spaying and neutering the pets too. And I've had this all the time. They'll say, Dr. Christian, I don't want to spay my dog. I don't want her to get fat. I don't want my boy to get, you know, fat or whatnot. So, you know, to the listeners, it's always good to kind of do a refresher. What are the benefits of having our dogs and cats spayed and neutered?
Yeah. So we kind of started with the bad news, I guess, right? So this increased risk for weight gain, but the good news far outweighs the bad. And that's why all of us in the veterinary community recommend having dogs and cats spayed or neutered. So there's, of course, to prevent pet overpopulation, to help curb unsavory behaviors. I'm looking at you, tomcats that will spray in your house, right? But there are also individual health benefits to each dog and cat to have them spayed or neutered, from decreasing and even eliminating the risks for certain life-threatening infections, to decreasing and eliminating the risks of certain types of cancers. So spaying and neutering really is the a pillar of health and wellness for our dog and cat patients, it's just important that we understand these hormonal physiologic changes that are occurring after the procedure that are predisposing them to weight gain, and that we know that we have tools to address those changes.
Right. I love that you said that. We have tools to address those changes. We now have a specific diet that's out there as well. And, you know, it's when we have those conversations in the exam room, they say like, oh, you know, my dog just got fat overnight, I feel like, Dr. Christman, like 3-4 months after they got spayed or neutered too. And, you know, they're concerned that they're overweight or obese. So like, what's the data showing? How many pets are truly overweight? I feel like we see a lot of them in the exam room, but what are the numbers showing us?
Yeah. So, you know, your clients aren't crazy. So a lot of times our pets will gain weight pretty rapidly after they've been spayed or neutered if we're not addressing it appropriately. So in one study, you know, dogs can gain up to 30% more weight just a mere 5 to 6 months after their spay or neuter surgery. So that's a pretty significant change. It's happening pretty quickly. And, you know, a lot of times as a veterinarian, I don't know if you felt the same way in clinical practice, I felt like, oh my gosh, I never see a patient that's an ideal body condition anymore. Everyone coming through the door is overweight. It was like spotting an indoor cat that was ideal body condition was like spotting a unicorn, right? We just don't see many patients that are ideal body condition anymore. And a lot of times, you know, that's the studies are backing that up. So a study by the Association of Pet Obesity and Prevention from 2018 found that over 50%, with 56% of dogs and 60% of cats, are diagnosed as being either overweight and or obese every year. And of those that are diagnosed as overweight or obese, only 10% ever go on to lose the weight. So it really has reached epic proportions here in the States.
It really, so you're saying more than half of our patients or animals in this country are overweight or obese. That's staggering. And, you know, we learned that obesity is a disease. And when I hear that, and to the listeners, I hope that resonates with you, that this is a disease, this is a problem. And I treat this as if it's nothing other than like when treating endocrinopathy or kidney failure or cancer. It's an issue. So what do you feel most vets are doing to combat this issue?
Yeah, so you're right. I mean, just carrying around that extra weight, overweight, obesity is a disease state. And it's important that we remember that. You know, a lot of us as veterinarians it can be intimidating. We see so many patients on a daily basis that are overweight. How can we treat that? And more importantly, how can we prevent it from occurring? When we place our patients on weight loss strategies, it can be challenging, right? A lot of these weight loss plans oftentimes fail. So it is important that we start thinking about how can we prevent the weight gain in the first place. And Vermac actually did a survey of approximately 150 veterinarians just last year in March of 2021 to get an understanding of what veterinarians are doing nutritionally, specifically after the spay and neuter procedure, in order to limit caloric intake for those patients. And the vast majority of veterinarians were either recommending clients either feed less of the current puppy or kitten diet that their patient is on, or they recommend that the client switched that patient to an adult diet after surgery. And these are both recommendations and attempts to control caloric intake. But what many veterinarians may not realize is that these two methods of feeding less or changing to an adult diet oftentimes are not very effective and can even lead to risks of nutritional deficiencies. So we really need to be, you know, thinking about it differently. We need to be finding a diet that's both calorically restricted to meet those lower caloric needs, but still have nutrients that our growing puppies and kittens need for healthy growth and development.
I sometimes feel like we set them up for failure when we say that too. Oh, just cut back less, cut back. Like, what does that mean to a pet owner?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, when you're feeding less, you put less food in that food bowl. First of all, the client, you know, thinks you're telling them to love them less, right? Yeah. For better or worse, food is associated right. with love. And, you know, it pains them to see their pet hungry. And if the volume of food going into that food bowl is smaller, we're not going to have that nice gastric distension that's going to lead to hormonal release to tell our patients that they're full. So they're going to be hungry. And we all know a hungry pet is going to beg, and our clients are going to give into those begging cues. And that really sabotages any attempt we had at controlling caloric intake and ultimately controlling their weight.
It really is. I was telling you earlier that when I go on TikTok Live and I talk to the pet parents about it, it is such a struggle for some of them too. They just don't know, you know, what exactly to do. And to our point, they ask us this question too. Why is it so important to keep our pets at a healthy weight? So share with our listeners, why is that so important?
Yeah. So we talk about this with our clients often, right? So carrying around that extra weight, again, it is a disease state. Fat is not inert. It's metabolically active. It releases inflammatory compounds and cytokines and hormones that can have effects in other body systems. So patients that are overweight or obese have higher risks for orthopedic disease, pulmonary dysfunction, dermatitis, urinary dysfunction. The list really goes on and on. Sometimes when I would talk about this with my clients, I'd kind of get an eye roll. They'd be scrolling through their phone. And I think it's because they kind of have heard all this before, possibly from their own physicians when they go into the hospital. So one thing I've started discussing with my clients is, you know, a study that was done quite a few years ago, but that's still really impactful and really powerful, where we looked at two different groups of Labrador retrievers, one from the time they were puppies until they passed away. And one group they kept calorically restricted. So they had ideal body weight throughout the entirety of their life. The other group they allowed to overfeed. And those dogs were allowed to become overweight, but not obese. So body condition score of like 6 to 7 out of 9. And those dogs that were kept in ideal body condition had required less medications throughout their life, had less other systemic diseases diagnosed, and they lived nearly 2 years longer as compared to the group of dogs that were overweight. So this is pretty powerful information to share with our pet owners. You know, your dog Fluffy, you love so much, you want them with you as long as possible. A great way to do that is to keep them at a healthy weight throughout the course of their life.
Absolutely. Well said. And I'm very excited to pivot a little bit of this conversation to talk about this because, you know, my years of practicing veterinary medicine, I feel like we have been more in a reactive state of treating obesity versus a proactive approach to this, especially when it comes to spaying and neutering. So to the listeners, this is so exciting. So what are some of the suggestions that you have for taking a more proactive approach to this issue?
Yeah. So, you know, the 2021 AHA Nutrition Weight Management Guidelines just came out last year, and they pretty much are saying exactly what you just said. So at one point it states it's easier to prevent weight gain than it is to treat obesity, which I think we all know, but it was pretty powerful to see that written down by AHA. And as part, they want us to kind of think differently. So instead of just talking about how we get the weight off, how can we prevent the weight from getting on in the first place? And they recommend this proactive approach, as you said. And as part of this proactive approach, they want us to understand risk factors associated with the development of obesity and try to mitigate those risk factors whenever possible. And they break risk factors up into two categories: human factors, such as overfeeding, overtreating, maybe overestimating physical activity, but then also animal-specific factors. And I think this is pretty powerful because it highlights that weight gain is multifactorial, right? It's not just the owner's fault, quote unquote. There are multiple reasons why our patients are gaining weight. And those animal factors, they state, you know, breed predispositions, as well as, of course, whether or not the animal has been spayed or neutered. So they recommend that we take steps to mitigate those changes. And they also recommend that we make a definitive nutritional recommendation. So not just for pets when they're sick with a therapeutic diet, but also for wellness diets, for health and prevention. So they recommend that we make a definitive recommendation on not just how much to feed, but also what to feed as well. Really important steps to control that weight.
So important, so important. I now see hospitals that are doing written instructions before they schedule the spay. We see that Fluffy is scheduled for their spay in 3 months' time. Here are some nutritional guidelines and recommendations to prepare you to make sure that we keep that dog, you know, nice at an ideal body conditions for. So I think that's good, right? That they have that conversation, if you will, prior to them versus post-op.
Absolutely. Yeah. You want to be having the weight management conversation early and often. So when you have those puppies and kittens coming in for their early vaccine appointments, you know, set the stage there, talk to them about how we're going to keep that dog or cat at an ideal body weight throughout their life. You know, tell them that after spay and neuter, they will have some metabolic physiologic changes that are going to occur. But luckily we now have a nutritional solution to address those changes with Virbac Veterinary HPM spay and neuter diet.
So talk to me about that. So how is HPM different from the other over-the-counter diets that's out there?
Yeah, so veterinary HPM was uniquely designed to address the two physiologic changes that we discussed that are occurring after spay and neuter. So veterinary HPM is going to be prioritized calories from protein, so it'll have higher levels of protein, and that protein will help to support lean muscle mass, which is metabolically active, and that can help to support their metabolism. Veterinary HPM is not just higher in protein, it's also higher in fiber. And that combination of both protein and fiber will help with that feeling of fullness after a meal, and that can help with appetite control. And finally, we know our pets, after they've been spayed or neutered, have lower caloric requirements. So veterinary HPM is going to be calorically balanced to match that lower caloric need. If you consider, you know, sometimes in practice, you would say, just go over the counter and buy any over the counter weight management diet. There's no guarantee that those over-the-counter weight management diets are going to provide the appropriate nutrients to help with satiety, the appropriate nutrients to help support metabolism. And there can be a huge variation in caloric content in those diets as well. So you really want to be prescribing and recommending a diet that you know where those calories are coming from and you know the caloric density of the diet. Really important for overall weight management success.
And when do you suggest putting those dogs or those animals on that diet? Like before they have their procedure? Is it an after kind of a thing?
Great question. So yeah, you know, we tried at Virbac, try to make it as easy as possible to integrate veterinary HPM spay or neuter diet seamlessly into your already existing protocols. So my recommendation is to, you know, a lot of times we're talking heavily about the spay and neuter procedure at that last puppy or kitten vaccine visit. And that's when I would recommend you send the client home with the diet and have them start transitioning at that point, even before their surgical procedure. That way you're not sending them home with a new diet the day of, you know, they see their dog or cat with their e-collar and, you know, they're non-steroidal anti-inflammatory and they could be very anxious about the procedure. Have the discussion a little bit before. That way it's a smoother transition down the road.
And how long do you suggest keeping them on that type of diet?
So the veterinary HPM spay and neuter diets is a lifelong diet. So these physiologic changes are lifelong because of the loss of sex hormone. So for those puppies or kittens, we would have them on the veterinary HPM junior diets. And our junior diets, I like to call them our quote unquote teenage diets. So it's specifically for those puppies or kittens that are still growing, but they have a lower caloric need given they were just spayed or neutered. So you're going to keep them on that diet until they reach about 80% skeletal maturity. And then after that point, you would transition them to the veterinary HPM adult diet for long-term care.
I love that there's a diet for the entire life of the animal too. I think that's really, to the listeners that are tuning in, I do think this is what I love about veterinary medicine, on how things change the research and how we advance and move the needle the right way. And I just think this is fantastic because, I mean, you and I know as practitioners too, this is such a hot topic that we hear, when to spay and neuter, and then what about the nutritional recommendations, because I'm concerned that they're going to be overweight or obese. So how has it been? How has the perception been in your experience with the food and the diet?
Yeah, you know, I've done spoken to a lot of pet owners, actually, not just veterinarians. And I think both pet owners and veterinarians alike are really excited to have this diet as an option because it really does fill a need. You know, from that survey, we saw veterinarians know they need to limit calories after spay neuter, but they just didn't really have good options, right? They were just feeding less or switching to an adult diet. And it's because they had no other definitive diet to recommend. Now with Virbac's veterinary HPM spay and neuter, they do. So, you know, I think both veterinarians and pet owners alike are excited for this new diet that fills a definite need.
Definitely. And where can everyone learn more about it?
So definitely visit Virbac's veterinary HPM website to learn more. And of course, always reach out to your Virbac representative. We're very happy to help educate and help direct you in the right place.
I love that. Well, this has been fantastic. We want to, again, thank you to our friends at Virbac for sponsoring today's episode. Really informative, great digestible soundbite information here. Some of the things that you were just saying, I'm thinking to myself, oh, I could say that in the exam room. I could say this in the exam room. Because you want to get the team involved in their buy-in. So everything you're just saying is, to the listeners, I think what Dr. Scolabino was just saying, very digestible information to have at a lunch and learn to talk about the why behind the recommendation. So I think that's wonderful.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having us today. We're very happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dr. Stacy Scolabino, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us.
thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Please don't forget to rate today's podcast. It always helps us out. Thank you for all you do out there. Continue to stay awesome. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Class Podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.